Sermon on the Mount, once again, Discipleship 101. And this morning we talked about Matthew 6, 19 through 24. And next Sunday morning we'll be looking at the rest of that context, verse 25 through 34. But tonight we're jumping ahead to chapter 7. And originally when I planned to do this series, I planned on preaching on verses 1 through 6 tonight and then looking at some of the latter verses later. But as I studied this, I became convinced that I think that we would benefit more by looking at the first 13 verses as a whole with the concept of judgment. And so I think that it's not just the first few verses that are being dealt with here, but I think the overall context will help us better understand the first few verses when Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged." And I hope that as we work our way through this, you'll understand. We may look at verses 7 through 12 later on in a more focused way, but I want you to see them as part of the overall context tonight. Imagine being those early disciples hearing this sermon. They were with Jesus and thinking, "Well, this is wonderful," when he talked about the Beatitudes. And they were those kind of people. They were the disenfranchised, the ones who were not the elite. And Jesus talked about those are the people that are blessed, the poor in spirit, those who show mercy, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. People like that are going to be blessed, those who are persecuted. And then he moves into going against many of the teachings against the Pharisees and their legalism. He talks about taking the law to the heart. He talks about things like anger and adultery and lust and all the things we've been studying and making our integrity, letting our yes be yes and our no be no. And most of them thinking, "Hey, this is probably pretty tough stuff," but I mean, they're still thinking, "I can do this as a disciple." And then we get into what we're studying on Sunday mornings about not putting stuff as our God, not laying up treasures here on this earth. And that's very tough for all of us. I mean, and maybe that's even harder for us today than it was then because we have so much stuff. But then, when he hit this one, they must have thought, "I just do not know if I can swallow this one, Jesus." I mean, I know that, yeah, the Bible says that we're not to commit adultery. And I understand what you're saying about lust. And I understand that murder really comes from anger. And I understand that our honesty and integrity is really tied to our words and our oaths and things. I understand that. But Jesus, you're telling me that I'm not supposed to be judgmental, that I'm not supposed to be critical of other people that are less than me. This really flies in the face of what it is to be human in a lot of ways, right? A lot of ways we are critical by nature. It's amazing to me how we can go to professional sporting events or high school sporting events and people that are out there doing what we could never come close to doing, those of us on the sideline can still criticize them heavily, can't we? And oh, if they would do this differently, then it would have worked out differently in the sports. Or we can go to a movie and we can heavily criticize the movie. And we understand that some of that is, I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm just saying that in some ways that's just how we are. Or we can meet someone for the first time and when we're leaving, we're talking about what that person was like or what they look like or things like that. It's just kind of in our nature. Now I want to ask the question as we begin looking at this text. What does it mean to not be critical, not to be judgmental, but to be generous? To be generous. And I think that's what this section is saying, is that Jesus is not prohibiting judgments. In fact, he's going to teach in this section, especially as you go on down through it, and look on down to verse 16 and 20, where he talks about knowing people by their fruits. So Jesus, as the world has misunderstood him, is not saying not to judge, but rather he's saying what kind of judgment we should be making. And he's really talking about our generosity toward other people. He's teaching us to be generous in our judgments, to not be overly critical, but to be like God. If you look at verses 1 and 2, "Judge not that you be not judged." For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's the human rule. We all want to judge. Jesus says, don't follow the human rule. Don't follow the way of the world, making harsh, critical judgments on everyone, not having any generosity. Now look at the verse 12, the golden rule. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Notice how this is contrary and right the opposite of what we want to do. We want to judge. Jesus says, don't judge, or else you're going to be judged. But rather, what should we do? Verse 12. Rather than always judging others, we should be willing to do to others whatever we wish they would do to us. Now that's the overall context that I think he's going at, is this generosity. Now let's look at it specifically. 4 points from this passage. Number one, we tend to judge others critically and miss our own faults, Jesus says. Look at verses 1 through 5. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. It's going to be the same measure of judgment used upon you, the same standard. If you don't show mercy, if you don't treat others the way they want to be treated, if you judge them, guess what? It's like a boomerang. It's going to come back to you. And then he says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. Once again, Jesus is not talking about and forbidding us to judge anything. In fact, Jesus throughout his ministry tells us that we have to pronounce sin, sin. And we have to be willing to understand the fruits of people's lives and what they are doing in their lives. But notice what Jesus is saying. He is condemning hypercritical judgment. He's condemning digging and searching for faults in others. He is condemning the failure to capture the first beatitude, being poor in spirit, thinking you can see as God sees, to know the thoughts, the intentions of the heart, to know what the other person is thinking. You see, we don't know always what the other person is going through, what they're dealing with. Jesus is saying we must be very careful in our judgments, and that we do not need to have a condemning, hypercritical attitude, always casting doubt and discouragement and judgment upon people. What he does say is this, that if you are hypercritical in your judgments, then it's going to make you hypocritical in your actions. You see, because we must first evaluate ourselves. Jesus uses this illustration here, and it's a pretty famous illustration. In fact, he really resorts to a measure of comedy here to try to make his point. It's an absurd illustration to present how absurd it is in our life. And he pictures someone, the term is for the log, is the support that held up the roof of a building. It's that main support. We might think about it like the King James translated, a big beam that would hold up the roof. And this person has a huge beam. We might even think like a 4x4 coming out of their eye. But they do not recognize. They're just swinging around this huge beam, and they do not realize that they're hitting everybody with it. And everybody sees it, but they don't see it. And they are looking and finding the speck, the small amount of sawdust that has come and fallen into someone else's eye. And they're trying to get it out of their eye. You know, one of the things Jesus is talking about here is that it's very easy for us to find areas where we're strong in and to judge others in their areas where they're weak in. Isn't that how most of our judgments and critical nature often comes? We often can do that, and we don't understand that, yeah, we may be strong in that area that we're being critical and judgmental of someone else in, but we ourselves
have some very big logs in our own eyes. And Jesus is saying we've got to first evaluate our own self. There's a couple Bible stories that because of time I'm not going to look at fully, but I would refer you to Luke 18, 9 through 14. And he talks about the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the Pharisee in that account says, "I thank God that I'm not like other men." Jesus talked in that context about this very thing, about those who think they're self-righteous and have a critical nature of others. And then the other Old Testament story that I would encourage you to look at is the story of Judah and Tamar in Genesis 38. And that story is a rather long story, the whole chapter. But in the end of the story, Judah is about to, his daughter-in-law, he's about to have her burned because of her immorality, because she has committed adultery. And when he finds out about this, he says she needs to be burned. But then she presents him with some emblems that he had offered to her when he thought she was a prostitute. And actually, he was the one who had committed the deeds with her. And he said at the end of that chapter that she is more righteous than I. You see, he was about ready to have her executed. He was focused on the, really in her case, it was bigger than a speck. I mean, it was a big problem in her life, but he did not see the great inconsistency in his own life. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. Some other verses would be 2 Corinthians 13:5, where the Bible says, "Test yourselves, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith." 1 Corinthians 11:28 through 31, when it's talking about the Lord's Supper, "Let a man examine himself when we partake of the bread and of the juice." In Romans chapter 14, verse 13. And so what is Jesus saying? He's saying also that we must not be prejudiced in our judgments, that we must not judge based upon stereotypical things. And in fact, a great counter-reference to Matthew chapter 7 to help us better understand it is John chapter 7, verse number 24. Because Jesus does not forbid, as our world wants to throw up, when we make, as Christians, we make some statements about moral issues, and people say, "Well, you're not supposed to judge." Those people are misunderstanding Jesus. Because in John 7, 24, Jesus would say, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right or righteous judgments." Judge based upon the standards of God's Word. We must be careful in being prejudiced in our judgments. What does Jesus say in Matthew 7? We tend to judge others critically and miss our own faults. And the problem then is that judgment comes back as a boomerang. And we then have others critically judge us. And what Jesus is trying to say is, do you want to be measured by that standard? In James talks about if we show mercy on others, then we'll be receive mercy. But if we do not give mercy to others, we'll not give mercy. And in Romans chapter 2, Paul talks about this same concept of judgment and how it will come back upon us. We need to understand, Jesus is saying that we must control our criticizing. We must give the benefit of the doubt. Here's what he's saying. Oftentimes, there's two options. You can think what someone says, and this happens with preachers a lot. You can hear me say something, and you can take that a good way, or you can take that a bad way. Let me say this sincerely from me to you. I hope that you'll give me the benefit of the doubt. And our family members, our wives, our kids, we need to always be willing to give each other the benefit of the doubt. To not be willing to just jump aboard that critical train and run them down, but be willing to give the benefit of the doubt. And if we have some insecurity there, if we're offended by things, talk it out instead of just passing judgment. How many times has someone thought they knew and they passed judgment and then later they find out that what they thought, the way they heard it, was actually not right at all? You see, the measure you use will be measured back to you. We must move on, though. Back to Matthew 7. I won't spend as much time on the other points because that was our main focus. Now I want you to see how it connects in with generosity. Notice, because Jesus says in verse 6, we do need and have to make some judgments. Now, verse 6 is a little bit difficult. Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. To me, I think Jesus is saying, don't be foolish. You got to be non-judgmental, but he's also saying, you got to use your mind too. Don't be foolish. Don't constantly throw something valuable, your own self, your own money that you have a stewardship over. Don't throw them to people that are just going to abuse them. In other words, you still got to make some judgments here. You still got to use some wisdom. In the context, most commentators see this as talking about the gospel and him talking about don't constantly share the gospel with people who constantly reject it. There comes a point where Jesus says you have to dust off your feet, you have to leave that town, and you have to go to someone else. Some commentators think that he's saying that it's an issue of loyalty with the Roman government. And he's saying, don't put your trust in the wrong people, but in God. Don't put your trust in people who, in this context, would be like dogs and pigs, who don't have God as their value. Don't keep putting your loyalty to them, but give it to God. What is clear is that we have to make judgments. Look on down to the latter context. Verse 15 and following. Beware of false prophets who come into you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. What's he saying? You've got to judge between sheep and wolves. You will recognize them by their, how are you going to know? Not by the way they look. Not by their your first appearance of them. You're going to know them by their fruits. Now that is going to involve somewhat maybe what they wear, some of the actions, but he's going to know them by their words, their deeds, their actions. And then he talks about, verse 17, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. See, this is why Christians do have to consider past behavior. We do understand people can change, and we want to do everything we can to help people change. But we can't also be someone who is enabling someone to continue in a life of sin, and us ignoring their unwillingness to truly repent. Jesus says you've got to know them by their fruit. A good tree is going to give off good fruit. A bad tree, bad fruit. Bad fruit. Verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus you shall recognize them by their fruits. Jesus is saying, disciples, don't be hypercritical in your judgments. Do not always walk around pointing your finger at everybody, talking about how you're better than everybody. Don't be like the Pharisees and the scribes, is what he's saying. But he's also saying, I do want you to know, if someone comes in church and they start preaching something that's not right, you judge that a false doctrine. If someone's living in sin and they're bearing fruits of sin, don't just say, hey, I can't get involved. I can't judge them. I'm not going to judge them. That's between them and God. Jesus says, no, you judge them by their fruits. You see, Matthew 7 is a very pertinent passage to the church today. It's a very twisted and abused passage by the world today, and often by the church, I think. Jesus is saying you do have to make some judgments. But here's the thing. Go back to our passage of Matthew 7. When he says the illustration of the carpentry illustration. Verse 5. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye. You see, you first have to examine yourself and make sure you're right. You have to be humble. You have to pray. You have to beseech others and make sure you're right. Then notice what he says. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. He doesn't ever say, once you get that log out of your eye, don't ever worry about your brother. There's still a problem with the speck. But you can't deal with the speck as long as you're arrogant and judgmental and pushy. But if you're humble and loving and you're seeking to be changing your own heart and life, then you can deal with the speck. You see, we have to judge doctrines and we have to be a fruit inspector. Now notice the overall context again, verses 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks it will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent?
If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?
Now, how does this relate to judgment? Well, it relates pretty easy. God knows what we need, and he will supply it when we ask. And here's the point.
He generously gives to us. He gives to us when we ask. He doesn't give us a serpent when we ask for a fish. He gives us what we need.
When he could be critical and judgmental, not in a wrong way, but in a right way. Think about this. Is there ever anybody more than God that could judge us for our sins and not be wrong in doing so? I mean, God could, right? God is a holy God. But God has given us his grace and his mercy through the form of Jesus Christ. He's given us his pardon. But not only that, in this context, he has given us his blessings generously. He has chosen to forgive us of our sins. What's the message of the sermon? Matthew 5:48. Be you perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Are you going to be mistreated? Are other people going to wrong you? Are other people going to say things that you take the wrong way? Are other people not going to act toward you the right way so that you can be harsh, critical, judgmental of them? Yes. What's Jesus saying? Don't be like the world. That's how the world does it. You don't be like that. You give the benefit of the doubt. You be generous because your heavenly Father is generous. God's generosity changes the world. You see what Jesus is saying? You do not have to be judgmental because God has been generous to you. Therefore, you can be generous to other people. And that gets us to our conclusion where we began. Verse number 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Now, you see this context? He starts off by saying, I'm telling you not to judge. Don't be overly critical. And that had to, in the face of the Jewish people who looked on Samaritans, who looked upon the people of the Sea of Galilee, who looked upon the Pharisees, I mean, all these different groups who were always constantly judging each other, that had to be radical. Jesus says, my disciples, we're not going to live like that. We're going to have an accepting, loving community where we're going to forgive each other and we're not going to be overly critical in our assessment of one another. And he says, how can we do that? We can do it by making judgments based upon the fruit of people's lives. We can do it based upon the idea of examining ourselves so that we always judge ourselves first. And we can do it because our God in heaven is generous to us. Therefore, the rule for my people, the rule for my disciples, is not judge others, and with that judgment you'll be judged, but it rather is treat others better than they deserve. Treat others the way you want to be treated. You know, as you think about this rule, of course, John Dale often talks about how this rule is the basis of Christianity and would transform most families and churches and individuals. And I think he's right in that. It's really a comparison of the critical rule versus the generous rule. Jesus says this is the message of the Old Testament Scripture. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And it really is about being kind, generous, and loving. So what do you do when the waiter messes up your order? Well, you don't have to just sit there and eat the bad order, but you don't yell at him and cause a big scene either, do you? You treat him as you would want to be treated. What do you do when someone does something and they say something, the boss says something, that the way you take it seems so very offensive? Treat others the way you would want to be treated when you say something like what he just said. You see, Jesus is saying, you be generous. You give the benefit of the doubt. You choose to treat them the way you would want to be treated instead of treating them the way you think they deserve. He's not saying they don't deserve it. He's saying, don't treat them that way because you're a Christian. It's one of the hardest rules in a lot of ways for us always to apply. But it's a wonderful rule that will change our life. What does it mean to be generous?
I think Jesus is saying that that's what it means. To not always being critical. Now, as I close, let me just offer this thought.
Isn't that a better way to live? I mean, isn't that a better way to live? Than always looking at how other people have wronged you and always counting your wrongs. You know what love is? 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no record of wrong.
Isn't that going to make us happier? Isn't that going to lift some weights? Isn't that going to keep us from having to be the referee, and the judge of life? And just let us go through life and allow ourselves to be open-handed instead of always tight-fisted. It's going to be a lot happier life.
If we'll be generous instead of being critical and judgmental. I need your generosity. You need my generosity. All of us have reasons why you could find faults in me and in you. What Jesus is saying is, don't focus on the faults. Focus on the good. And choose to treat that other person the way you would want to be treated. Because you yourself are connected with your own faults. They may be different. They may be at different measures. But you have your own faults. So treat the other person in a kind and loving way. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this evening, if you want to put Christ on in baptism to have all your sins washed away, we give you that opportunity. If you want to rededicate your life, come as together we stand and sing.